Coming up on Texans Huddle, presented by Houston Community College, it was deja vu all over again on Thanksgiving Day for the Texans. The defense stumbled, but regained composure when it counted.
He's under pressure. He's sacked back at the 13-yard line as J.J. Watt got him.
Stafford gets the snap. Heavy rush over the middle. Here's a throw over the middle, and it's caught and dropped. It's a fumble. Houston should have it.
And an older Texan refused to be outshined by a young Lion.
And Andre Johnson bobbles and makes the catch. He's out of bounds inside the 15-yard line.
The Texans have reached double-digit wins and are on the verge of securing a playoff berth and at the same time giving back to the community that supports them so well. All that and much more coming up on Texans Huddle starting right now.
This is Texans Huddle, presented by Houston Community College. HCC is the official education partner of the Houston Texans. Now, here's your host, Patty Smith.
Hi, everyone, and welcome into this week's edition of Texans Huddle. Ford Field, downtown Detroit, where the first time in Houston Texans history they will be playing on Thanksgiving Day. Of course, the Detroit Lions are no stranger to Thanksgiving. Neither is this guy right here, Andre Ware, a stranger to Detroit. Andre drafted in the first round back in 1990. And Andre, tell us, you know, I know you didn't necessarily play in this field, but coming back to the stadium, walking through the halls, seeing the pictures, just being in this city, what kind of memories does that bring back for you?
It brings back some really good memories. We had some great years in the Silver Dome before the Lions decided to move downtown or move operations downtown. But it was a good deal. It was a good bunch of good group of guys that I played with. The coaching staff was great. And then the memories, the things that you did away from the field, like last night going downtown to Pizzapopolis, a place that I've been many, many, many times, and just enjoying a big Chicago-style pizza. It was awesome. So that brought back some memories in itself.
And just talk a little bit about what it means to, you know, I mentioned in the open that the Texans are playing for the first time on Thanksgiving. The Lions do it all the time. But what does this game mean to them? Do they get up for it? Is it a little bit different?
Well, they do. And they could be 0 for whatever. And this game, they know it's going to be sold out. The fans will be crazy. It's one that you know the Lions are going to play hard today. And you'll feel it back in Houston. The vibe in this building will be electric from the opening kickoff and for 60 minutes. They're used to doing it. Every year they adjust the schedule to accommodate this game, try to get the soreness out and things of that sort so they can bounce back and be 100% on Thanksgiving.
Well, what about that short rest? I mean, both teams obviously playing on short rest. The Texans have to mix some travel in there. How does that play into this?
Well, it's tough. One, when you travel. Two, when it's a short week. And then, you know, a lot of veteran players on your team, is such a short rest that you're not back and physically 100%. As I said, the Lions, they didn't go anywhere. They had to rest this week, and they're used to playing in this game year after year. So if there's an advantage in that sequence, it's for them being the home team and being used to it.
All right, great stuff. Thank you so much. Let's see if Andre's analysis proves to be correct as we wrap up all the highlights in this week's Texans Rewind. The game opened with a J.J. Watt sack on Matt Stafford, and a sold-out crowd of nearly 65,000 at Ford Field just knew it was going to be a long day.
As J.J. Watt got him.
But the Lions responded and proceeded to march 80 yards on 12 plays, culminating with a Michael LeShore 2-yard touchdown run, the first rushing touchdown the Texans have allowed all season.
Stafford handoff, LeShore up the middle. He's in, touchdown Detroit. First rushing touchdown of the season against the Houston Texans.
Things we went through today, obviously J.J.'s not here. You know, we lose Brady, you know, we lost Caldwell. We just seemed like one thing after another, and it was from just the wear and tear of how much football we played in such a short period of time. But we kept making plays offensively, kept stepping up at the right time defensively.
The Texans' offense came out flat, going 3-and-out on their first three possessions before finally getting on the board with a 6-yard touchdown run by Arian Foster.
Schaub feeds Arian, running to the left side, needs a block across the 5 to the pylon. He's in! Touchdown, Arian Foster!
With the score tied at 7, it pretty much became the Johnson & Johnson show. Calvin Johnson was virtually unstoppable, leading the way to another Lions score, and Andre Johnson showed Calvin, his favorite receiver, that he's still got a few moves of his own on his way to a 188-yard day.
Here's the pass rush. Matt fires it deep down the left side, and Andre Johnson bobbles and makes the catch. He's out of bounds inside the 15-yard line.
You know, he's a tremendous player. Size, speed, I mean, big body. And I always tell people, you know, he's my favorite receiver.
Early in the second half, with the Lions leading 24-14, the play of the game, the controversial 81-yard touchdown run by Justin Forsett.
He was never tagged. He gets up 40, 50, 40 of Detroit, the 30 to the right, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Justin Forsett.
Well, first I'll give him credit for continuing to play football. We talk about that all the time. You know, you don't stop, you play, you keep going. So, you know, situation right there, he finishes the play. Obviously, I guess the reason it's a touchdown is because it threw the flag or all the schematics that go with it, you know. And so, you know, obviously that's a big break in a game for us, you know, but I think you make your breaks when you work your tail off.
There was no whistle, and he just kept going. And, you know, it ended up in a huge play for us. And, yeah, I know there's some controversy over that one, but, you know, it is what it is.
After a 23-yard touchdown run by Joyke Bell, J.J. Watt decided to take matters into his own hands. The Lions twice drove deep into Texans territory to put Hansen in field goal position, but Watt forced punts with two sacks on third downs, giving him three on the day and 14.5 on the season, breaking Mario Williams' 2007 record.
Stafford getting pressured. He's going to escape, and now he's going to be wrapped up and sacked as the Texans get him. And guess who? J.J. Watt. 14.5 sacks, a new Texans record.
It's an honor and a privilege. Hopefully I keep breaking it and breaking it and breaking it and breaking it. So hope I'm not done.
With regulation coming to an end, Matt Schaub and Andre Johnson went to work yet again and tied the game on a 97-yard, 15-play drive, culminating in another Arian Foster score and putting Andre over the 100-yard mark for the 42nd time in his career.
Throws over the middle. Caught! Andre Johnson across the 17-yard line for a first down. Matt gets the snap. Matt has time. Throws downfield. He's got Andre Johnson for a first down at the 25-yard line. Schaub digs in. Handoff. Arian running left. He's in! Touchdown, Texans!
You know, when we're called on to play a certain way and do certain things, you know, we all want the ball. We want the ball in our hands and with an opportunity to go win the game. And, you know, we just try to spread it around. Dre made a phenomenal play. Arian just kept grinding out, you know, made some tough yards, some tough carries, and, you know, just battled all day.
I just try to make the best of my opportunities. You know, didn't think we'll be playing another five quarters again. But, you know, when you go through stuff like that, you just got to find a way to get it done.
With the Texans going into overtime for the second time in 4 days, it was again a final period of missed opportunities and big plays.
It's a fumble. Houston should have it. Manning. The Texans recover at the 34-yard line. For the victory, John Weeks will snap Donnie Jones with the hold. The snap is down. Rams kick is up. It has the distance. He misses it in overtime. Andre Johnson to the right. Schaub fakes to give. Throws downfield, and Johnson fighting for it. Houston has it. It's going to be a pick for Detroit at the 41-yard line. 47-yard field goal attempt for the win. The snap is down. Kick is up. Plenty of distance, and it's no good off the upright. The Texans survive.
And with 2:21 left in overtime, Shane Graham once again got his opportunity.
Has the distance, and it's good! The Texans win in overtime! Shane Graham makes it, and Houston beats the Lions 34-31 on Thanksgiving.
It's draining physically and mentally, but our team persevered. I mean, there's a lot of obstacles. There's a lot of times where people could have counted us out.
It's a lot of football we played this week, and, you know, I'm so proud of those guys in that locker room and our coaches, you know, because they don't let you play much more football than we played in the last 4 days. And, you know, we're just thankful to come away with a win on Thanksgiving Day.
All right, we have to take our first time out here on Texans Huddle, but don't go away. When we come back, we will be back in Houston and wrap things up with Mark Vandermeer. Stay with us.
Texans Huddle is brought to you in part by Verizon, America's fastest 4G network.
And welcome back to Texans Huddle. Joining me now, the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer. Wow, Mark, it seems like it's been a long time, but we still have to wrap up that Detroit game on Thanksgiving.
We do? My gosh.
I know, but it's probably taken this long for you to kind of get your Your energy's back after that one.
I barely recovered, Patty. I mean, that was an amazing game. Absolutely. The Texans absolutely played terrific offense against the Detroit Lions. You know, in the last couple of games, they've thrown it over 100 times. Matt Schaub's been sacked only 4 times. Arian Foster had what I thought was his best game of the year at Detroit with 102 yards. And Andre Johnson had the best 2-game set in NFL wide receiver history. It was that good for the Texans offensively. Defensively, that's another story. But as those games went on, they made big plays to help them close out the opponent. These are the types of games, Patty, that they might not have won a couple of years ago, but they're winning them now, and that's key on the way to 10-1.
And probably that 10 days off couldn't have come at a better time considering how banged up this team is, specifically defensively. Can you kind of give us an update of where some of the guys are? I know some of them have been out of practice this week, who we will see and who we might not.
Well, the biggest story is Brooks Reed out at least a couple of weeks, and Whitney Mercilus takes over at weak side linebacker while Connor Barwin moves to the strong side. And the factor here is, does Whitney Mercilus play the run as well as Brooks Reed? You talk about Reed and Barwin playing the edges so well, preventing runs to the outside for the most part. Mercilus has to do that. A lot of people focus on sacks and rushing the passer. That's fine. But the Texans have been outstanding against the run, and they have to stay that way with the rookie Mercilus in the game. Jonathan Joseph, hamstring injury, continues to try to ramp up. You hope he can go as soon as possible. Great to have Daryl Sharpton playing an inside linebacker. Tim Dobbins working his way back. Brady James still nicked up. I think they'll be okay because they have depth, Patty. I mean, this is a team that has really built their roster well.
Are you concerned? I mean, so much has been, you know, talked throughout the season of how great this defense has been. And just as much has been talked about in the last couple of weeks about how much this defense is suffering. Are you concerned at all, or do you think it is just a matter of these injuries that just need to heal up?
These are the dog days, if there are dog days in an NFL season. You know, here you are. You've played 11 games in the year. You want to be playing your best in the postseason. And how do you peak at the right time? I don't think they can worry about that. They just try to play every week, do the best they possibly can. And any NFL team is going to go through a bunch of injuries. You have to weather the storm, keep the most important players healthy, and the most important one is the Ocho, Matt Schaub.
All right, let's talk about this weekend. Heading to Tennessee, just your thoughts on this game, some of the challenges the Texans face.
Well, this is a team that, I'm not going to say they scare me, but this is a divisional opponent, Patty. The Titans have given the Texans fits over the years. Of course, they blew them out. The Texans blew out the Titans last year in Nashville. And the time they played them here this year at Reliant Stadium, it was a 24-point win. They had 2 pick sixes in the game. The Titans are kind of flatlining right now, coming off a loss to Jacksonville, 4-7. And they fired offensive coordinator Chris Palmer. Second time in his career he's been fired as an offensive coordinator from an AFC South team during the season. Happened here with the Texans back in 2005. Yet, divisional opponent, team playing hard, knowing if they lose, they cannot have a winning season. And I think that's going to be big for Tennessee. I don't think this is an easy game.
Well, kind of a cliche question, but the thoughts or the chances of them overlooking this game, looking forward to that big game in New England on Monday night?
I don't think there's any chance they look past this team. I mean, look at it this way. Jacksonville came into Reliant Stadium at 1-8, and the Texans had to go deep into overtime to beat them. And it almost cost them another game in Detroit because they were so banged up and beaten up from that game. There's no way they're looking past a 4-7 team. And they know they get an extra day next week to get ready for the New England Patriots. I like this little 2-game set right here. They're on the road, but they've got rest before both games. I think that's a key factor.
Awesome. Great stuff. We'll see you in Nashville.
Thanks, Patty.
All right. Thank you. Still to come on Texans Huddle presented by HCC. We'll go nose to nose with fan favorite Sean Cody.
Offsides on the first play by the big fella.
Texans Huddle is brought to you in part by Verizon, America's fastest 4G network. By the Memorial Hermann Ironman Sports Medicine Institute, bringing elite care to all athletes. And by the Texas Lottery. Play the Houston Texans scratch-off from the Texas Lottery today. Maybe it's your lucky day.
Hello, Texans fans. It seems like every year you hear about a widespread practice throughout the NFL that has been going on for far too long. I'm talking about rookie hazing. And when it comes to speaking out against rookie hazing, the Houston Texans grab the bull by the horns, because we don't play that game.
Being a part of the Houston Texans organization means not only doing your part on the field, but also being a great teammate and stand-up gentleman off the field, in the locker room, and in the community. To take part in such immature, unseemly, and disrespectful behavior like hazing is downright wrong, and that will not be tolerated in the Houston Texans organization.
And joining me now, Sean Cody, not only nose guard, but executive producer of On the Nose, talent and all things related to that show. You have a lot of fun with that show, I know, especially the rookie hazing one. How did that whole thing come about? Was this all your idea?
Well, you know, I have to give a lot of credit to our producers, Nick Scherfield and Drew Doherty. We do a collaborative effort, a brainstorming, if you will, on what goes into the show. And we had this idea of doing a little fun with the rookies, and it was a good time for the whole team.
Yeah, do you remember getting hazed as a rookie?
No. There's no such thing as hazing in the NFL. I don't know what you're talking about, Patty.
Okay, not so much hazing. Little picking on the rookies.
Having fun with the rookies.
That's
what we prefer, yes. Having fun. There's some things that, you know, you go through, but it's just part of it's the cycle of life of the NFL.
What was the most fun anyone had with you when you were a rookie?
We had a guy who used to put, like, dye in our shoes, and that would dye your feet, so it would be a funny color when you put on your shoes. You didn't know, of course, the powder was in there. You put your shoe on, and then you take your feet out, blue feet. So there are some things like that, but for the most part, it's all in fun.
Yeah, now somebody put some orange in your feet, I'm afraid.
Yeah, nice orange shoes.
All right, let's talk a little bit about this season. Of course, you missed the last three games, the injury in Buffalo. A little bit of different opinions as to what people thought your injury was. We heard punctured lung, we heard riblets. I mean, what was the actual injury, and then kind of where are you now?
You know, I cracked a rib, a couple ribs here, and the lung collapsed a little bit. It was not a big ordeal as it was made out to be, so it was very minor. So it's, you know, it took a little bit to heal, a little longer than I wanted to. I wanted, you know, of course, play against the Lions and my old team. So, but didn't get a chance to do that. But, you know, looking forward to this week and playing a tough Titans team.
What are your thoughts when you watch these last couple of games that you missed? I mean, what this team had to go through. Obviously, you should be nice and rested up poor guys from what they had to go through. But, you know, watching what the team did and what they were able to overcome in those couple
games.
Yeah,
I mean, it says a lot about our perseverance. And, you know, those games are roller coasters. You know, they could have gone either way. And the way especially the last two, the way they just hung in there and battled all the way to the end, you know, and found a way to win. I think that's really a testament to a good team and what kind of team we have, and you can battle in those kind of games.
And specifically on the defense, it's been kind of a next man up thing. Has it been kind of a cool thing to watch these young guys step up when some of the vets have gone in?
Well, I think that really comes down to Coach Kubiak and what he preaches to the team is, you know, whoever's in there, you got to hold up your end of the end of the job, and the other players will help you out. And so it's not just the guy who's filling it for the guy. It's, you know, everyone around. You got to, you know, pick up their game a little bit to help that guy out.
All right, looking ahead this weekend, heading up to Nashville, just your thoughts on this offense and what you guys are facing.
Well, obviously they have a dynamic, you know, running back and Chris Johnson who can, you know, spring a play out of nothing really. So our goal as defensive linemen is to always contain the run game. And he's, you know, a talented back, so we got to get after him. And then with a quarterback like Locker who can run and as well as pass, you know, we got to keep him in the pocket and don't let him scramble around too much.
What has this season been like for you? You guys are sitting here at 10-1. You know, clearly, you know, there's a lot of work to be done. But are you enjoying the ride? Are you able to kind of step back and enjoy it?
No, it's, I think, you know, with our team and the characters we have, even at, you know, Coach Phillips is a character too. So, you know, when you have that kind of characters and, you know, we're winning, you know, and you're on the winning end of games, you know, the mood around the building is great. You know, the mood around the city is great. So you can kind of use that energy to kind of keep it going and keep it rolling. So that's what we're trying to do here and finish out strong in the season and then make a good march in the playoffs.
Are you and Connor having some hair wars here? It looks like you're kind of
talking
style, but you've got some highlights worked in.
I win the hair wars, trust me. A lot of people think that Connor Navarro invented this high hairdo, but no. This is one Sean Cody. You could check the film a couple of years back. This is my dude. And I got highlights,
you
too.
You got the highlights.
He doesn't have highlights. And I have a mustache, and I have lots of things going on, so it's... He can't compete.
Well, and are you working a twist, a little dread work in there?
No,
or is that just natural?
This is natural. Just, I got that good hair.
You got the good hair?
Yeah.
All right. Well, good luck to you this weekend, and thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Patty.
All right, we have to take a time out here on Texans Huddle, but don't go away. Plenty more when we roll on. Stay with us. Make sure to log on to HoustonTexans.com to vote for the Texans November Whataburger Player of the Month. This month's nominees are James Casey, Brooks Reed, and Glover Quinn. Get online and make your choice, and the winner and the player who nominated them will make an appearance at a Houston area Whataburger next month. So go vote and make plans to meet your Texans at Whataburger. Well, a few of the Houston Texans are already in the Christmas spirit and out in the community this week. Glover Quinn, Kevin Walter, Wade Smith, Toro, and some Texans cheerleaders were out at Methodist Hospital to have a little fun and sign some autographs with the patients and the employees.
Everybody watching, huh? See ya. Don't see me. All right, I'm up to it.
come out here to Methodist Hospital to sign autographs for the staff and different patients and did some room visits. So it was a great appearance that we got to do with Kevin and Glover Quinn.
It's a good game Thursday.
There were a lot of great Texans fans, a lot of people excited about what we've been doing this year. A lot of kids really excited to come out and be able to see us, so that was pretty cool.
Wait, put this on.
They knew all about our games, you know, just about all of them talked about our overtime game Thursday and how, you know, hopefully we don't have any more overtime games because it had them, you know, pins and needles, it had them nervous. So, you know, hopefully we'll come out this week against Tennessee with a more convincing win.
All right, y'all look so pretty.
And welcome back to Texans Huddle, coming to you from Reliance Stadium. That's Lamar High School out here practicing on the field, getting ready for their big playoff game here at Reliance Stadium this weekend. Good luck to them. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. We hope you enjoyed it. And if you would like to see this show again or get any more information on your Houston Texans, just log on to HoustonTexans.com. Until next week, we will see you on Monday, wrapping up hopefully with a big win against the Tennessee Titans. Have a great week, everyone.